may be seated. I just want to take an opportunity to mention this and to say this. I know that we've recognized our veterans today. But as you and I stood to give our pledge of allegiance to the Christian flag and give our pledge of allegiance to the American flag, are you not delighted to live in the land of the free and the home of the brave? And it is only because men like those who are veterans this morning and those who are serving all over the world that have done that. Are you not so proud and appreciative of the veterans we have all across this land? Amen. Let's give them. I think it's worth standing to thank our veterans. And Father, we thank you that we live in the most precious land in all the world, a land where there is freedom, where freedom rings from the East Coast to the West Coast, where freedom rings from the North to the South in this wonderful land. And Lord, we're a land of many distinctions and differences. We're a land where there's problems and conflict. But Lord, we're also a land where we come together like this and we don't worry about individuals marshaling in and shutting this place down because many have fought for the freedom of worship, the freedoms that we hold dear. And Father, we thank you for those who've died. Many have died, and many will die today. Father, not just soldiers on foreign fields, but Father, there are soldiers in your army that will die today giving themselves for the gospel because it's the most precious, precious truth and worth dying for. Thank you, Father. And Father, we pray that as we are reminded today, this weekend, 4th of July, of the many gifts. May we cherish them. May we pass them on to our children. And may we never lose our patriotism, first and foremost unto you, and also to this land and to the flag of the United States of America. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me invite you to take your Bible, and I want to look at three particular passages of Scripture this morning. And as you and I come together this morning, you may very well be tired from the dregs of yesterday because, you know, when we have the 4th of July, we always love to celebrate with family and friends. But I hope you took time to pause and to pray and thank the God who has created you for the land that we live in, for the land that is the land of the free and the home of the brave. But this morning, I want you to look in your copy of the Scripture, and I want to look at three passages of Scripture, because the truth about it is, there is one who desires for freedom in your life and my life more than anyone in the world, more than any soldier on any field, more than anyone who's given their life, or the many who've given their lives. The Bible makes this statement in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1, and then Romans 2 and 3, and then John 8:32. Listen carefully to what Scripture says. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, Paul is writing to the church at Galatians. He says, I want you to be reminded that it is for freedom's sake that Christ has set you free. And then if you'll turn back to the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 3, or chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, listen to what it says. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. And then if you'll turn back to John chapter 8, verse 32, John 8, 32, Paul is saying in these two passages of Scripture, Christ has set you free, but freedom didn't come cheap. Freedom didn't come without a price. It came through the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then Jesus says in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If there is one common denominator among every single American across this land, it is that wonderful gift that you and I hold so dear. It's the gift of freedom. You know, men and women have and are laying down their lives so that freedom can always be a reality for you and a reality for me and a reality for our children and our grandchildren. As long as there are men and women who pay the ultimate price and are willing to go to the ultimate extent, there will probably be that freedom. When this land stops paying that price, then we'll lose the freedoms that we have. But there is something even more tragic than men and women losing their life, and it's this. It's men and women losing their life, giving their life for freedom, and yet people not really enjoying and cherishing and holding dear the freedoms that they have. You think about it and you hear on about every newscast, someone has died in military, a Marine, a serviceman, someone has given their life as the ultimate price of paying for the freedoms that we hold dear. And yet the sad part about it is there are many in this land who do not and are not enjoying freedom. Oh, they think they are, but in truth, they're really not enjoying the freedom that God wants them to have. As a matter of fact, the Bible says all over the world, there are many that are in bondage to sin. Oh, they look well enough on the outside. They look like they're enjoying freedom, but deep down in some part of their heart, in some part of their being, there is some bondage that is taking place. You know, when you look all through the Bible, it is really the truth of God that He wants mankind to be free. If you go back all the way in the book of the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, God saw His people, the children of Israel, that were in Egyptian bondage. And when it got bad enough, and when things got bad enough for them to cry out to God, the Bible says that God heard from heaven. And God set apart a man by the name of Moses, and Moses was used of God to go into that land and to bring the children of Israel out of the land of bondage, to bring them to what God said, a land flowing with milk and a land flowing with honey. Why? Because there is within the heart of God a desire for every creature, creation, man, woman, boy, or girl, on the face of the earth, to have and to enjoy freedom. In the book of Galatians, as a matter of fact, in another translation, in the New International Version, I love the way it says it. The Bible says, "It is for freedom's sake that Christ has set you free." There is something within the human heart. There is something within every one of us that we long to be free. As some of our military will be deployed, and some have been deployed, and some will continue, there is a yearning and an ache in the human heart that wants to be, that desires to be free. Not just free as a country, but to be free to the point that we can enjoy every day the liberty, the freedom that God has given to us. As a matter of fact, you look at Israel's situation, and they would get in bondage. They would cry out to God, and God would set them free, because the Bible says it is the desire of God that you and I be free. If you'll follow along in your outline, I want you to notice some things, because this morning I want to deal with experiencing true freedom. You know, there are men and women all over the world. As a matter of fact, there are men and women in military who are fighting for freedom that are not free themselves. I don't know if you're aware of this, but on the battlefields, there are many men and women coming to faith in Jesus Christ. One of the chaplains that is in the military and is head up, I went to school with him. He is sharing how men and women are coming to faith in Jesus Christ on the battlefield, because every person that is alive yearns for freedom. You desire to be free in your heart. As a matter of fact, if you look at Scripture, it is the God of Scripture that desires that you and I be free. You know, when you think about freedom, when you think about being a free land and a free country, it wasn't man's idea to be free. It wasn't your idea or my idea. There is something in the heart of God that placed in the man, in the heart of mankind, a yearning to be free. You remember Patrick Henry, that great revolutionary. Here's the way he said it in the 1700s. He said, "Give me liberty or give me death." In other words, there was an ache and a yearning inside of his heart to be free. And God has created you with a yearning and a longing to be free. Now, we talk about freedom in a lot of different ways, but I'm not just talking about free as a country. but genuine, true, lasting freedom. As a matter of fact, you know, you find it all throughout the scripture. And Jesus said in John 8:32, when he was talking about his mission coming to earth, you know, Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, and he died on the cross, shed his life's blood so that you could be free. Listen to what Jesus said. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Why? Because it is the desire of Jesus Christ. It is the desire of God the Father that you be free. Why? Because if you'll look in the Old Testament, whenever God set the children of Israel free, he said, I want a people to worship. I want a people to worship me. I want a people to praise me and to exalt me. Listen, it is a big deal in the heart of God that he has a people that praises him and worships him and magnifies him. Do you know that we're a free land and a free country for the reason that we can come and worship and praise and exalt the God who's created us? That's why you have freedom. Not to live your life as you desire, not to do as you desire, but that you and I can have the genuine, authentic freedoms that God wants us to have. One problem with the children of Israel, like so many of us today, we don't realize the bondages that have a way of taking our life. As a matter of fact, you know, all throughout the Old Testament, God would set his people free and they'd get back in bondage again. He would help them with some freedom and they'd get back in bondage again. Just a few weeks ago, I had an uncle that passed away, and as I attended his viewing, I couldn't help but look at some of the things that was there where he served in World War II, and he was in the aircraft, and he was, I don't know what his position was, but I thought how he gave his life, and so many given their life and died for the country. But the Bible makes it very clear that God wants for you and me freedom. But here's the problem. If we're going to really come to freedom that God wants, there is something that has to happen in your life and my life, and that's this. We have to admit and own up to the fact that we become enslaved. You know, in John chapter 8, you don't have to turn there, but in the Gospel of John, the Bible reveals some sobering discussions that was going on between Jesus and some of the Pharisees. And Jesus is telling the Pharisees how they can be free, but here's the problem. They didn't believe they were in bondage. They didn't believe they were enslaved in any way. You know, one of the realities about so many men and women today, they never own up to the fact that they're really, really, really in bondage. Oh, they live in a land that's free. They can go and come as they want, but there's a deep bondage on the inside of their soul. There's a bondage to unforgiveness. There's a bondage to bitterness. There's a bondage to some type of addiction in their life. And you see, the Pharisees didn't want to admit their bondage. They were in bondage to religion. They were very steadfast in their religion. They didn't pay a tribute to the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't believe in him or who he was, but they were highly religious. Listen, there are many people in bondage to religious activity. There are many people in bondage all over the world to all sorts of things, not just religious activity, but so many in bondage to certain addictions. You know, the problem in our world that you and I see is a basic reality that mankind does not want to admit that he's in bondage. You look at the financial meltdown. You listen to Wall Street. You listen to the moral collapse. We are in a moral meltdown in our country. Why? Because mankind does not want to admit his bondage. There is something about the human heart that does not want to admit its own wickedness. As a matter of fact, Jesus would tell the Pharisees, he would talk to them, and the more he would lovingly teach them and declare the truth, the more angry they would become, and the more bitter they would become, the more hostile they would become, because they did not want to admit it. I don't know if you realize it or not. We may have a lot of freedoms, but we're in a moral meltdown in our land. Why? Because God never makes a people free for their own purposes. God never makes a people free for their own joys. And one of the things that we have in our land, it's my pleasure and my this and my that. And God has set you free to worship him. He set you free to magnify him, to exalt him. Listen, here's what God told the children of Israel. You're going to be set free, but when you get out of the land, you're to go into the wilderness and you're to worship the living God. You are given freedom to worship God. You are designed for God. You're created for God. And you know the sad part about it is so many people never figure that out. So many people just say, well, I'm free. I thank the men and the women who've given their life for me. and they're in bondage. They're in deepest of bondage to all sorts of addictions in their life. Just like the Pharisees, there's so many who never own up to the fact that they're really, really, really in deep bondage. You may be one of them this morning. You pray to God, nobody ever finds out about what you've been up to and what's been your habit and what's been your addiction, not for a year or 2 years or 3 years, but maybe you've been addicted to something for a long, long, long time. You see, the problem around us, we just don't want to admit to what enslavement does. You know, look at number three in your outline. One of the problems that we have is this. Now, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'm here to tell you the truth. Every one of us are sinners. How many of us does not need Jesus Christ? All of us need Him. You know why? Because the Bible says all are sinners. You're a sinner. You say, well, Pastor, I try, but here's the reality. You was born into a world, and that's the way you live your life. Why do so many people get in bondage to money? Because they really honestly believe that money will bring them happiness. They forget their family. They forget their relationship with their wife and their children, and they become in bondage to money. Why do some people get in bondage to all sorts of addictions, internet addictions, pornography, sensuality of all types? Because maybe they honestly believe at the devil's suggestion, well, really and truly, this won't hurt me too bad. And all of a sudden, their wife is gone, or the husband's gone, or the children are gone, and all they have got is their addiction. You see, the Bible says about every one of us, we're slaves to sin. You cannot get out of sin. You are trapped to sin without Jesus Christ. You can't save yourself. You can't set yourself free. There is no way under God's heaven that you can be free apart from Jesus Christ. Yet the sad reality about it is the devil lies to many, many people, not just unbelievers, but Christians alike. You see, it sort of works like this. If you're in bondage to something, maybe something you desire, maybe you buy that book that you never thought you'd buy. Nobody saw it. After all, it's not going to hurt anybody. And then you get a second copy, and a third copy, and a 100th copy, 200th copy. Or maybe it's that internet site. Nobody will really know. Nobody will really see. After all, I'm just a human being. And all of a sudden, sometime later, some weeks, some months, some years later, you're in bondage. Yes, you may be saved by the grace of God, but you're in bondage. And the flag can't set you free, and you're in bondage. You don't realize how deep you're in bondage. You see, here's the reality about it. The children of Israel, if you'll ever notice, they went down to the land, and it seemed to be good at first, and it was good at first, but then enslavement began little by little by little. The devil don't get you enslaved in tremendous bondage overnight. It starts with a little step, one little step. Maybe you're in bondage to money. You know one of the biggest bondages that I see as a pastor? I want you to listen to me real carefully. I see all types, and some of them I won't even share with you here because they're shared in confidence. But one of the biggest bondages that I see is to finances. Finances tell me where to go, what to do, what not to do, when to do, how to do. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having money, nothing wrong with having a lot of money. But there is a point that money can put you in bondage. Why? Because it may not look that bad, but it dictates the direction of your life. Jesus said, you know, when we commit sin, it leads to bondage. And what happens is this. You know, maybe there's something you desire, some sensual appetite. And the devil whispers, well, it's not going to hurt that bad. You know, it's not going to cost you that much. And then third, you know, your conscience becomes more weakened, and you don't really even look at the Word of God anymore. You don't even study the Word of God. You know why? Because it is so convicting to your heart. You don't take the Bible and open it up because you don't want to see what God says about your sin. You're in bondage, and you've become your own God. You've done what you want to do. It doesn't matter what God says. I'm going to do it anyway. That's bondage. And there are many people all over the world, take believers, many believers that are not making any impact for God, for the glory of God, for the good of God, because they're in bondage to some sin and to some sinful appetite. And there's a lot of unbelievers in the world. They're in bondage, and they think that everything's all right. After all, you know, I know about God, and I think about God sometimes, and surely God won't reject me. You know, if you look at scripture after scripture after scripture in the Gospels, Jesus comes across men and women who are in bondage. Let me ask you a question. What do you hope no one ever finds out about you? What's that thing that goes on in your life that you hope to God nobody ever finds out about? I pray nothing. But you see, the real truth about it is there are so many who are hooked. There are so many who are hooked to all sorts of addictions, sexual addictions, all sorts of lusts, all sorts of alcohol, you know, some ungodly appetite. And you see, the truth about it is, if you're going to be set free, if any person's going to be set free, here's the reality. If true freedom, it requires a willingness. You know, one of the things about it, men and women that I've seen come to faith in Jesus Christ, I've never seen a person come to faith in Jesus Christ without owning up to the fact that they're a sinner. I've never seen a person liberated from a sin or sinful appetite to the point that they did not come to terms with and they had to admit that it was in them. I've talked to some folks who are alcoholics and they've talked to me about, they said, you know what, I have to stay around certain places because, you know, I used to drink and I'm freed from that, but, you know, the devil still works in that way, and he does. And you see, Jesus made it very clear, you know, when it came to the children of the land of in the land of Israel, listen to what happens. You know, they had to be willing to leave the land they were in, the bondage land. Now listen to me real carefully. If you're in bondage this morning, are you willing to leave it? Some of you are not. You may be here and you're lost, and you're not going to be saved today because you're not willing to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Now listen, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but Christ will never save a person without their will being involved. Amen? I was not saved without my will being involved, and you cannot be saved without your will being. The Holy Spirit will convict. The Holy Spirit will work. The Holy Spirit will move. But you cannot be saved apart from your will. Now watch carefully. Listen to what happened in the children of Israel. They started out on the march to freedom. They was leaving their land. But listen to what they said in Exodus 16:3. They wanted to go back to slavery and insecurity. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. Now listen, one of the realities about being free, it takes time, energy, and effort. You say, now wait just a minute. If you're lost, it don't take much effort. No, you just need to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Invite Jesus Christ to come into your life and ask him to be your Lord and Savior. But listen to me real carefully. If you're addicted to something, and you're not enjoying the freedom God wants you to have, you've got to come to terms and you've got to say, Lord God, I admit, and then name it to God. A lot of people will never come to freedom because they won't admit it about themselves. Their marriages will go down the sink. Every relationships will go because they won't admit that they're in bondage. You can go to church till you die and never come to terms you're in bondage. Jesus said, it's only when you know the truth, and part of the truth that I have to accept is the truth about where am I in my own life? What am I in bondage to? Lord, you reveal to me the bondages that are in my own life. Are you into bondage? Let me just name a few things that we can be in bondage to. Money, we know that. Food, bondage to food. Bondage to medicated, you know, prescription drugs. You'd be amazed how many people are in bondage. I've got to have this drug. I've got to use. Listen, Jesus said, it's when you know the truth, when there's a relationship. And you see, the thing about it is, if you're a person, you're lost. You say, what keeps me from freedom? Just doing nothing. Let me give you an example. Let's suppose Sergeant and Specialist here, they weren't going to go. Not going to go fight. I'm not going to be available for my country. I'm not going to serve. Just do nothing. Listen, imagine if all the military in our land today said, you know what, we quit. Next week, you would be in bondage. Our land would be taken over. Why? Because people are not standing on the brink and standing in defense. Listen, it is not easy to be in freedom. Why? Because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the dark world. Listen, it's not. It takes energy and effort, and it takes being in the Word of God to be free. Why? Because if there's one thing the devil loves to do to your life, if he cannot get your soul, is to get your freedom. And you know what? I see a lot of believers that are not living free. They're not enjoying life. They're not having fun. Now, you say, well, there's a lot of trouble in life. You can't have fun in life. Yeah, you can. Jesus said he came that you could have life and have it abundantly. And the best I understand of that, then that doesn't mean a dreary, dreadful, boring life, but a life where you can laugh and enjoy. Now, yes, there's struggles, there's difficulties, but he said he came that you could have life. And you see, the thing about it is, so many people are never willing to be honest and open with themselves. And you see, think about an unbeliever. How does an unbeliever die and go to hell? What does an unbeliever have to do to end up in hell after this life is over? Tell me all they have to do. Nothing. All you've got to do is just not admit nothing to yourself. Don't admit that you're a sinner. Just do nothing there. Don't admit that your soul needs a Savior. Just do nothing there. Don't admit any of that thing. Don't admit that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Don't admit. And then when life is over, you will leave this world, you will live eternally, and you'll realize that the way you ended up in hell was simply by doing nothing. And that's the reality of so many men and women this morning. They're in bondage to sin. They're in bondage to the devil. And because they've done nothing about their soul. You remember what Jesus said to the man who had the barns, and he built, and finally he had so many crops, and he's going to tear down the barns and build bigger. And Jesus said, thou fool, for tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. Let me ask you a question. What if Jesus said to you that same verse tonight? Not today. You'll get to live today. You'll get to live this afternoon. But tonight, your soul will be required. Where will you be? You see, the reality is there's millions and billions in hell this morning. Why? Because they just simply did nothing. They didn't address their soul. They didn't address their need of salvation. They just did nothing. And I cannot fathom, I've tried to, but I cannot fathom for the life of me, to wake up one day and you're on fire and you're burning and you're on fire and burning and on fire and burning and you're there forever and ever and ever and ever. Aren't you not glad for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that saved you from your sins? Amen? Listen, Jesus said, I came to set you free. Why? Set you free from a place called torment. Set you free from the shackles of sin. Listen, you don't have to listen to the devil if you're a child of God. You say, well, why does he bother me? Well, maybe you're not in the Word of God. If you don't know the truth, you can't be enjoying life. And you see, God's declared in his Word that when you know the truth sets you free. And if you're going to experience true freedom, if you're lost, you need to invite Jesus Christ into your life. You see, I go back to that time when I was an 8-year-old child, and I didn't know really much about being lost. I just knew I was. You know, I never will forget riding the bus, going to school, and Holy Spirit told me this. You know, have you ever noticed the Holy Spirit is very candid to you? He never tries to soften your feelings. The Holy Spirit just simply said this, Benny, you die the way you are, you're going to hell. I thought, that's not very nice. But that was the truth. I was going to hell if I died the way I was. Now, the Holy Spirit will always tell you the truth. You may be in bondage this morning, and you're in bondage, and you say, Pastor, and here's one of the biggest lies the devil pulls. You've done something too bad to be saved. You've done something too hideous to be saved. You've done something so ungodly you can't be saved. That's a lie straight out of hell. The Bible says God loves you with all of his heart. He came that you could have life. Why did he die on the cross? For every sin that could conceivably, possibly be committed, he died for you. And you see, the only difference between you, if you're lost, and those of us that are Christians, is the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to our life. It's not anything we've done. You look around, you say, it's by coming to church. Not a single thing we can do. We're saved by the grace of God. Well, you know, if you're going to have true freedom, it involves calling on a person. You know, in ways that you and I can never comprehend, the Bible says there's power in the name of Jesus. You can't comprehend, and I can't comprehend the fathom, the power that's in His name. But let me just give you a real illustration out of life. Some years ago, I was in a class in seminary, and there was a lady in the class, and her husband was running for state attorney general, or running for some position in the state of Illinois. And there were some thugs that didn't like him, and so they thought the way to get at him was to beat his wife up. And that's what they had in mind. She was in a mall. She was walking to her car. And as she walked to her car, these villains, thugs, whatever they were, they came up to her and they let her know they meant to do bodily harm. She had a spiritual walk with God. And listen to what she said. And ladies, this may come in handy. Men, this may come in handy. She said, sorry, you can't touch me because I'm covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. When she said that, it's just like they were paralyzed. They stood right where they were. She got in her car, and they eventually ran. Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. Think about this. You're going to heaven if you're a Christian because of the blood, the power in the blood of Jesus Christ. You're going to be in heaven for all of eternity. You're not going to go to hell. You're not going to live with Satan and his emissaries and all the demons and all the cohorts because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. You and I have been set free, not of anything we've done, but because of Jesus the Christ. And the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, whoever they may be, wherever they may be, the Bible says they'll be saved. Why are you going to heaven? Because you look good? Because you dress good? Because you're very knowledgeable? No, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. Nothing you've done, nothing I've done. You know, there may be some bondages in your life, and here's one thing that has to happen. You know, you may be saved and you're in bondage. You're in bondage to addictions. You're in bondage to prescription drugs. You're in bondage to internet addictions, pornography. You're in bondage to something else. You're in bondage to alcohol. Listen to me real carefully. Listen to me very carefully. Let me tell you how addictions are dealt with in the spiritual realm. It comes by a willingness to get on your knee before a holy God. Let me give you an example. You get alone before God, you get on your knee. Maybe you do or don't have a Bible with you, but you're honest with Him. Lord, I'm in bondage to, and you name the addiction. I cannot free myself. I need you to free me. I surrender my life to you, Jesus. Please set me free. You know what He'll do? He'll free you in ways you cannot comprehend. You cannot fathom, you cannot imagine. You know, I've shared with you this story. But I was in bondage years ago. I didn't realize it. Maybe you're in the same situation. I was in bondage to hate. I think I've told you this before. There's a certain man that, well, not just one. There was two of them. And I thought to myself, or I think I thought this, Lord, if I could hurt him and not get in trouble, I would. Now, don't you ever been there? Don't you dare say a word if you have. I saw him one day coming down the road. He was driving, I was driving. I thought, I wish I could swerve over and hit him and hurt him and not get hurt. I think I thought that. May have been the devil had that. But here's what I had gone up to. I was in bondage to some hateful feelings that I would not let go. I was in bondage. And when I got on my knee and I said, Lord God, I hate. And I named his name. You say, can you do that to God? Well, let me tell you what I thought. The devil made me, wanted me to think. You say you'll hate somebody and you own up to it. You think God's going to zap you. He's not going to zap you. Does he know it if you hate somebody? Yes. You know what? When I forgave that man and I asked the Lord to forgive me, it was just like the Lord put a warm, warm, wonderful feeling, sensation of his Holy Spirit over me. You know why? Because he knew the truth. He knew I wasn't living in freedom. And you know, it's something terrible to live in a land of the free where many, many, many hundreds and thousands have died, and to be saved by the grace of God and not to live free. Was it easy? No. Because nobody ever told me to get on my knees and own up to hate. Now listen to me real carefully. I'm 50 years old. I'd sat under a lot of pastors, but I never had a person to tell me, to the best of my knowledge that I can recall right now, to get on my knees and admit that I'm in bondage to hate towards someone. You see, it's when you do it. You can talk about it, but when you get on your knees, and you say, Lord, I hate them, but I choose to forgive them for what they've done to me, then it's when you enjoy the freedom of Jesus Christ. Is it easy? Not always. Really never. But you know what happens? You can look at them in the face, and you know what? You really love them. You don't want any hurt or harm or ill will to come to them, because there is the love of Jesus Christ that flows in your heart to them because you're willing to surrender your hate to Jesus. Just as these men surrendered the flags just a few moments ago, it was an act of the will. And it's the same way in your life and my life. It's an act of the will. With every head bowed, every